Hi, this is Bob Sorrentino from Italian Roots and Genealogy. You can find us on Facebook, and you could also find the blog at www.italiangenealogy.blog. And I'm here today with Diana Olivieri, and we're going to talk about her Italian roots. So welcome, Diana. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
If I'm correct, you're originally from Staten Island?
Is that where you're from? Yes. Born? Yeah, Staten Island.
probably by way of Brooklyn, I'm sure.
On my dad, yeah. My mom was born on Staten Island. Oh no, sorry, she was born in Manhattan, but raised in Staten Island.
Where in Manhattan was she born?
I'm not sure which hospital, but they didn't live in Manhattan. I guess that's where they went.
She just went there to get born.
Yeah, to get born, exactly. And my dad was actually born also in Manhattan, but they had already moved to Brooklyn at that point. So yeah, it was born and raised in Brooklyn, because my grandparents, when they came through Ellis Island on my dad's side, just settled directly in Brooklyn because that's where they had already relatives and some ties. But my mom's family went to Manhattan first, and then to Staten Island.
A lot of people made that trip. Those of us from Queens didn't make that trip to Staten Island. That's only Brooklyn people went that way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then on my mom's side, my mom's father's family also lived in near Arthur Avenue in the Bronx for a short period of time after Manhattan, and then wound up in Staten Island for a whole bunch of reasons why they came here. And my dad wound up moving here because when he met my mom in Brooklyn, in a nightclub, they decided that they were going to move here to Staten Island. And it was long story, but my mom had been widowed, and my brother was already living here and knew, you know, his grandparents here on Staten Island, and she didn't want to change, I guess, schools and stuff like that. So my dad wound up moving to Staten Island, and kind of, I think now he's lost his Brooklyn accent after 80 something years.
I was going to say he's probably close to mine. I'm 72, so he's
83.
Probably...
Yeah, 83.
But like my older cousins. Yeah,
yeah, because my mom was married already, pretty young, like 23, and had my brother, and then her husband died. But she waited like about 10 years to start dating. So, I guess my parents were a little older for the time. A lot of my friends' parents are a little bit younger, like in the 70s.
Yeah, that's like me and my brother. But I have cousins. My oldest cousin is 92.
Oh yeah.
And my youngest cousin is, I guess she's about 66. Yeah. So yeah. We got this wide.
How many cousins do you have? I have like about 30 cousins on my dad's side.
Yeah, I have 23. I have 23 on my mom's side. My father's side was a lot less than that, maybe 15 or something.
Yeah, like. I have less on my mom's side, more because my dad has there were 7 children. So yeah, there's more cousins on that side than my mom's has 3 siblings.
So now where from Italy did they come?
Okay, so my dad's parents are both from the same town. It was an arranged marriage, from Corato in Bari, in Puglia. So if you want, I can tell you a little bit. I find this story very interesting, very short story.
Absolutely, yeah.
My grandfather came when he was 18 to New York, wanted to get married after he was here for a while, went back to Italy for an arranged marriage with another girl, who's not my grandmother, his first wife, Adelaide, he went there to marry her, brought her to New York, whatever, a few months later, she came, and they had my Uncle Tony. And when she was pregnant with the second child, she died in childbirth at the age of 23. So here's my grandfather, you know, in his 20s, working in Manhattan, widower with a 3-year-old. And he's like, oh gosh, what am I going to do? I'm not going back to Italy. So there's a neighboring family who they were in contact with. And they said, well, Rosa is going to come to America. Rosa's single. And 19, oh, sorry, my grandfather was 37. Sorry, it was a while before he got married and had the first wife. So Rosa, 19, decides she's going to dump her Italian boyfriend. No, she said, I had a boyfriend, but they told me, you know, he wanted, you know, a wife. And your grandfather was very good looking. So I did it. But I don't really think she had much of a choice, to be honest with you, because what were her options in 1937 as a 19-year-old in this small town in Bari? So she came over, and they wind up having three more. My dad. Oh, sorry. What I wanted to tell you, the interesting thing was, when my grandfather went back for the arranged marriage, he stayed a little while, and I guess my grandmother must have gotten pregnant in celebrating the marriage, because my uncle was born not long after that, and my grandfather returned to the US to New York by boat, obviously alone. And she came later when my uncle was 8 months old, but he left the 3-year-old with her because he said, I have to work. And she couldn't come right away, I guess, for whatever reason, maybe laws and stuff like that. But it's a crazy story, because my uncle didn't even know that he was actually born an American citizen in Italy, because my grandfather had already naturalized. And we found this all out later with, Ellis Island documents and stuff like that. And they actually added my grandfather, who's born in Italy, to my uncle that was born in Italy. They actually added him on to my first uncle born in America's passport. And you see, Paige added at the Naples consulate, brother Vincenzo born in Italy, and he was 8 months old on the boat. So anyway, Corrado, and that's where they're from, the same town on my mom, my dad's side. And it's really, my dad's side is in story is so complex and crazy. I probably need 3 days to explain everything. But my mom's side are from two different places. My maternal grandmother was actually born on 183 in 183 Mulberry Street in Little Italy. But her parents had come maybe a year and a half before from two places very near to each other. Trevinata, which is Avellino, Campania, 40 minutes from Naples, and another very, very small town called Forchia, which is Provincia di Benevento, but it's right next to Trevinata. But they met in America working in the sweatshops as seamstresses and tailors. And you know how it was, but they would find people that, were from the same area somehow. So they wound up having my grandma and her siblings in Little Italy. But again, from Campania, and my mom's dad from Melfi. So Potenza, Basilicata. So all the South. But during my research that I've done on my mom's dad, 3 generations before my grandfather, they were actually from L'Aquila, Abruzzo. Liberatore is the name. So they were originally, somehow, that Liberatore family was from Abruzzo. I don't know. They migrated to Basilicata for some reason, maybe for work or whatever. And they were master tailors. They had a tailor shop and everything. So I'm assuming maybe they started the tailoring in Abruzzo and then brought it to Basilicata. Anyway, so all from the South. What does a Southern Italian person look like? I can't tell you, because my dad's side is fair and freckles, and my mom's mom is dark olive skin. I have green eyes. My hair is like auburny. I don't even look like my sister or my brother. My full siblings look completely Italian, and I really don't. Anyway.
So well, that's interesting now, because people think that you're supposed to have the same DNA. Have you done DNA and have your
Yes, I
brothers and
have.
sisters? How about your
Yes, I
brothers
have.
and sisters?
My sister and my brother have not. My parents
They
have
have to
done it.
do it so you could see what the combination is.
Yeah, but I told them, you're screwing me up now, because
Yes.
my kids have done it, and I've actually seen some things in my kids that it says they got it from me, but doesn't show up on my DNA, which is interesting. Yeah. But my parents did it, and I actually got my great aunt. My grandmother has been dead for like since I think 2003 or whatever, so she didn't get to do it. But my great aunt just died last year at the age of 100, and when she was 99, I asked her if she wanted to do it, and she said, sure. I mean, I know it's better to have a male, but I mean, it's better than nothing. So, well, I've heard it's better to have the male line, but she did it, and we found some interesting stuff too. I mean, obviously, it follows the, yes, Southern Italy, but there was a family rumor that we have a little bit of a brick wall that we haven't been able to solve. But just someone being born in Northern Italy. But, you know, of course, Northern Italy comes up on a lot of Southern Italians' DNA too. So it's hard to tell if that story is actually true. Anyway, I'm still working on it.
Well, yeah. And, you know, that's interesting because my wife is, she's half Puerto Rican and half Sicilian, right? She's got blue eyes. I mean, she's fair. I mean, she's like fair as fair could be, you know, and, but she's got a mix of like everything and probably from Sicily, you know, because again, to your point, what does an Italian look like? We could look like anything.
Anything. I mean, I also had a lot of Greek DNA, Albanian, Croatian. Mm-hmm. Again, it said mostly Southern Italy. There was a little Northern Italian, like 10% or something. And there was like 2% German. I'm like, it's possible, you know, whoever came. It also could just be a fluke. You don't really know. And also they keep changing the DNA results because they're doing more testing. So it's like every time they say something, it changes. But it is interesting now that you can see which came from the maternal line, which came from the maternal and paternal line, which is pretty interesting. Yeah. So I definitely did that because I wound up meeting some distant cousins and they shared some pictures of, you know, people that I had known, I knew existed and I had seen their like headstone at the cemetery, but I didn't know what they looked like. And to finally see like some of their pictures, they were like siblings of my great grandparents. They weren't anybody directly, you know, related to me.
Yeah, but there's still, you know, there's still a connection there.
Yes, and oh, this is what Alessandro looks like. It was my great-grandfather's, one of his brothers, who did come to America as well. Because not only did my grandparents come, many of my great-grandparents also came either at the same time or later on. And I've even had one, I think it was great-grandparent or great-great that came to America at the age of 70 and wound up dying in America. I was thinking maybe she's getting elderly and they said, hey, come and we'll take care of you here and, you know, we'll pay for everything. So I found some crazy stuff that, you know, I didn't even know that my grandmother knew her grandfather who came over to America as an older adult, like I said, maybe like 50 or 60, and wound up dying here. But she never talked about it because she was a child herself. She probably doesn't even remember him. She was born in 1912. Yeah. And he came, I think, in 1913 or 14, and then he died shortly after. So, like, I said, wow, you didn't, never told us, but she probably doesn't remember.
We'll be right back.
Italian Roots and Genealogy is proudly sponsored by Your Dolce Vita and Dawn Matera, connecting people to their purpose in life and continuing their legacy. For more information, contact Dawn at www.yourdolcevita.com. Well, and that's unusual for the older ones to come.
Yes.
In my grandparents' case, they left their oldest son with his grandparents.
Yeah.
And he didn't come until they're from Torito, which is, you know, I don't know, not that far from Corrado as the crow flies.
Yeah.
And they didn't come over till the 50s. So my whole cousins were all born in Italy.
No, it's crazy. The crazy thing is that some of them, which I found really weird, was that like not all of them came because my dad's mother, she left her family. I don't even know if she ever saw her parents again, maybe once when she went back on a trip. But it wasn't all of them. But you know, how many great grandparents do you have? 8? I don't even know. You know.
Yeah.
I'm like, where did you go? Where did you go? You know, when I look at the chart, you know, online, it's clear to me, but I'm trying to think, not all of them came, but some of them did. So it was pretty interesting.
So now you've gone back. Yes.
I've gone back, but not full time. It's between like 8 and 9 months a year. I've been doing that since 2019. So my original plan
didn't just go back.
I move and live there. Yeah, I have an apartment, I have a job.
Wow,
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. So I only wanted to go maybe for like a year to check it out and teach English and study Italian because I was very obsessed with, my family didn't speak Italian, obviously spoke Barese, Napoletano, but I always wanted to learn at least Napoletano, but I said, you know, I understand a little bit just from hearing my grandmother now and then, and Barese was very sporadic, so she would teach us little words here and there, but she did not want anyone, including my dad and his siblings, to speak that language. It was like, no, you're American, stop speaking that, yeah. stop repeating. And they got slapped for repeating it at home. But my grandparents did not, on my dad's side, no, my grandmother did not speak English well. So, you know, they would try to communicate with her and she'd say, no, answer me in English, you know, even if she didn't speak well herself. I wanted to learn standard Italian, and I was studying here in New York for 2 years. And I just said, oh, you know, I really just need to be, I can immerse myself as, with the TV and the radio and Netflix, but, and I talked to people and stuff, but I just really wanted a better grip on the language. So I said, well, I also want to teach English. And that wasn't my job in New York. I did some volunteering and stuff, but it wasn't my job. I worked in fashion. Following in the footsteps of most of my mom's family being in the fashion industry, they were tailors, seamstresses, and my great-grandfather became a fashion designer in New York. So I was always very interested, even though I didn't know him, I was always interested in that field. So I went into fashion, but I said, no, you know, I really want to live in the South. I really want to live where my grandparents, whichever side, you know, I just want to live in some place that they came from or near to a place where they came from. So I like languages and I am studying Italian. So I'd like to teach English because, you know, it's fun and you can also learn while you teach. So, you know, I've learned a lot from my students, not only about the language, but cultural things and stuff like that. So I went in 2019. And then, of course, the pandemic happened, which hindered everything, all my plans of networking and meeting people and learning the language. But I did a language exchange every day with a group of people. We got past that. And then I just decided that after not being able to come home during the pandemic, during the summer, that I wanted to come home. I always had the plan that I wanted to come home and spend time with my family in the summertime when the schools closed. Mm-hmm. Because to me, I like Italy, but I can't expect my whole entire family to fly for the whole summer and give up everything, you know, and it's just not feasible to have everyone, cousin, sister, brother, daughter, son, you know, grandkids, whatever. So I said, I'll just come home. And it's working out great because I also hate the heat. Like the just real heavy heat in Southern Italy. So it works out great for me.
So where do you live?
Near Cervinara. It's a town in the provincia di Benevento. So even though Cervinara is Avellino, it's very close to Cervinara. It's called Airola. It's a very small town, like Paesino. It's very small. There's like 8,000 people. The school I work for has a school in Cervinara and a school in Airola. So basically I'm working some days during the week in my mom's mother's side's town where her family came from. And then the other town where my bisnonno is from, my great grandfather, is right next to, but it's super tiny. It's like 1,000 people, but where I am, it's 40 minutes. If you're not in traffic, it's 40 minutes from Naples. So it's good. 3 hours from Rome, 40 minutes from Naples, either by car or on the bus. If you take the train, if it's not running right now, but with under an hour. So I was looking in Corato because I actually found I'll explain. My dad's father, when he had the arranged marriage with my grandmother and the three sons and had the first son from the first marriage, he died young, my grandfather. He was only 42. And then there's these four sons, and my grandmother's, you know, worked part-time as a seamstress in a place like down the street in Brooklyn, but you sent the kids to work. Basically, my father was working in a chicken factory, he said, and he showed it to me the other day. He said, that's where the chicken factory was. We're like, you were working in a factory in Brooklyn at 7 years old? Yeah. And I shined shoes too. We shined shoes. We worked in the chicken factory. I'm like, yeah, my brother too. I said, oh my God. I mean, who knew in America in the 50s, kids were working in factories? I mean, yeah. So, you know, we have a lot of funny stories, but my grandmother's like, oh God. Four kids, I don't have a good level of English, how am I going to work? So she needs to get married. So she had another arranged marriage. I don't know if the families knew each other. I'm assuming so that word of mouth or something, but maybe they did know each other because this was in the 50s. So then he came over. She went, oh, my dad said he remembers she went for 3 months. So I guess she got to know him, her second husband, which is my step grandfather, because I never knew my real grandfather. My father was two when he died. So I got gypped on the grandpa department, but at least I had my step grandfather, and then they had three more kids. So altogether, there were seven siblings, but she physically had six. But I think they still were quite poor, based on my dad telling me, hand-me-downs, and you get the shirt with someone else's initial on it, and you're just like, I'm not wearing this, and then you have a fight with your mom about it, but they, thank God they all became, successful people in life. But it was a hard way to grow up, based on what he's told us. This is interesting. My dad, when he went to kindergarten or first grade, they were like, were you born in this country? Because you have a very thick Italian accent. And he said, what are you talking about? I was born here. But he picked it up from his mom and dad and stepfather. And he said up until college, someone, there was like a linguistic professor said to him, are you a native English speaker? And he said, yeah. And the guy was like, well, I detect, a foreign accent. So it's completely gone now. But that's just amazing to me, that just think about the way they grew up was almost as if they were in Southern Italy.
That happened to my cousin's
Ah,
son,
so it's
my
not that
cousin
rare. Yeah.
from Italy, and my cousin's son was basically not raised by my aunt and uncle from Torino, but that he spent most of his time with them. So when he went to school, they asked him that they said where was he born?
See,
He
I
told
know,
them
because
America.
it doesn't really matter where you born. I mean, if you look at my Uncle Jimmy, Vincenzo, of course, is Jimmy here. Uncle Jimmy was born in Italy, came here when he was 8 months old. But I always say there's really no difference between the two of them, my dad being the first born in America and him being born in Italy, because he was born in Italy, but he was a baby. He was on the ship at 8 months old. It doesn't remember anything about being born there, So I said, you guys are like equal, It's like he was not even born in Italy. But at the same time, it's like you were both born in Italy because you're being raised by these, immigrant Southern Italians who have this, certain ways of being that they're not going to change just because they're in Brooklyn,
Yeah, and it's funny because now my dad's siblings, three of his older siblings were born in Italy. I didn't know his my uncle because he died when I was very, very young. But my aunt, who was probably 10 when she came over, she never had a hint of any accent like
No,
at
no.
all.
It's interesting. Obviously, for example, also my mom's mother, like I said, was born in Little Italy, but was completely bilingual. So she would only speak Neapolitan at home with the parents, and then obviously learned English in school. And which again, when you speak both languages like that, from birth, I guess, I mean, also being an English teacher, I can see who heard English as a baby, because there's a few kids in school. I'm like, did you live in England or America? And they're like, oh, my mom's British. And I said, I could tell your English, the way you reproduces pronunciation and stuff is so different than the others who didn't have exposure to the language. So
Well,
yeah, there's a whole thing.
my parents used to fight because my father was, family was from Naples, my mother's was from Bari, and they used to fight all the time.
Yeah.
Who's speaking the right Italian? And I know now that
Exactly. And
I know it was my
meanwhile, both.
father.
Well, definitely the Napolitano is definitely more heard, I guess we can say. I
Well, and my
understand more
grandmother,
Napolitan.
my father's family came from, they weren't farmers. They were aristocrats in
Yeah.
Naples and
I
stuff. So,
remember you told me that.
yeah.
Yeah.
So they spoke a higher level, but the Barese is, I used to think it was Italian, when I hear it, and now
Everybody
I know
did.
it's they would
Yeah.
cut, they cut everything off. Everything is like
I know, so
chopped and.
Neapolitan too, because the last vowel sound, unless it has an accent, is a schwa. So it's about everything. So, I'm taking Neapolitan lessons because I love the language and I've already got a pretty high level in Italian now. So it's safe for me because I already know, because of where I live, a lot of my friends speak Neapolitan to me on the phone. We'll be talking in Italian and they'll just switch to the Neapolitan. And I have no problem because I have had exposure to it, not by my grandparents, but living in Italy. My grandma just said, like, aspetta, basta, yelling at us type of things. It wasn't like, let's have a conversation about, you know, what you like to do on Saturday. No, it wasn't that, you know. But
I'm I'm so pissed that they didn't teach us. I mean, I struggled to learn it.
Let me tell you, this is my, I was just leaving messages for my friends about this a couple of days ago, because Italians in Italy don't understand why we don't speak our parents, grandparents, great parents, because they don't understand how difficult it was for Italian, especially obviously coming from Southern Italy. There was already racism towards Italians in this country since way, way back, since the New Orleans lynchings of 11. Well, I think they were Sicilian, right? Italian, but they were Southern Italian. That's Italy. I mean, Sicilian or not, it's Italy, Italians. And so they had this shame. And then you put on top of that World War II. You know, what side of the war was Italy on? Not the side of America. So, you know, again, my dad never legally changed his name, but doesn't use Ricardo. He's Richard here on his documents. And I said, but you guys, like, all of a sudden it just changed naturally? And he said, yeah, but when I went in the army, the woman was like, you're not Richard, you're Ricardo. And he was like, it's the same. And the girl says, no. She wasn't Italian-American. She was, you know, didn't know. And she went and asked a higher-up who was Italian-American, and he came over. He said, no. It's the same name. It's Italian for Richard. Leave it alone. He doesn't, because he didn't want to go around with Ricardo on the placard, you know, on a shirt. Because even this is probably like the 50s or 60s. I mean, it's still, they still wanted to just be Americanized, you know. And my grandparents too started, not all of them, but the males started using Louis, because I had two grandpa Luigi. they started using Louis. My grandma Romilda, she would just go by Ro. Romilda's not that common, but, you know, it's kind of hard to change. And Rosa just went by Rose. So, you know, my mother's Carmella, she didn't change it. And I said, I love that name. It's my favorite Italian name for a woman. And she goes, I'm not particularly fond of it. I never liked it. But I think just because people maybe, you know, teased and stuff, because it's not a common name in America.
My uncle's wife, my aunt Dolly, she was Italia. You did not call her Italia. You were a dead person if you said.
I know. I had a student named Italia, and I was like, "Wow, that's such a beautiful name to call." And then I was thinking, "Yeah, in America, yeah."
Yeah, and you know, like you said, I mean, she was born 1918 or something like that. Yeah, so as a kid, like, you know, she must have got teased or whatever.
Of course, because people were mean, you know, and online, you know, you see this sentiment that there was a guy from Africa on Instagram the other day talking about, they said, where are you from? And he said Italy, because I guess he was born or moved to Italy. And then he started saying some things in Italian, and some of the comments were very nasty towards Italian Americans. Oh, he's more Italian than Italian Americans, and he speaks better, they don't know anything. And I started explaining to this person in Italian. I said, look, I didn't speak Italian when I was a kid. My grandparents didn't even speak Italian. They spoke dialects of languages. And I said, you have to understand, you don't know this because you don't know about Italian American history. There are books. There's a book called La Storia. It's written in English, but I'm sure you can find an Italian copy. I said, and it tells you all about the history. And you can just ask some people, instead of having stereotypes that everyone's into the worshiping the mafia, no one knows the language and no one's interested and no one cares. That's not true. I said, you're going by small representation of people. You can't generalize, just like I won't generalize you, you know, as Italians. And she says, oh no, I'm not, you know, being judgmental. And I said, you're not. I said, but there's a lot of this. And I've been talking about it recently with a few different people. Pure hatred, just if you say I'm Italian American, oh, you're disgusting, you don't know your language, you don't respect, you don't want to know the culture, you think you're more Italian than in Italy. Not me personally, but I said, but that's not true. You're generalizing. You know, people make videos for Instagram and Facebook to get comments, to get likes. Half of the things people say are not even true, you know. Yeah. So, you know, you need to, what's the best way to get to know people that are different from you, or maybe that you think are so removed? You know, why don't you make a language exchange group like I do. Italian Americans come and we meet Italians and we talk about a topic, but we also talk about, you know, our cultures and how they're different. And, you know, some are jealous, you know, there's jealousy involved too, because, you know, my family left and did well in America and your family stayed there. And maybe they're not doing well.
I got a comment on YouTube just yesterday. I was having this, but guy, he was obviously he was Italian, and he was, same thing. You know, you Italian American, you're not Italian. And I said, nobody said we didn't say we were Italian.
We don't want to be Italian. We're Italian American.
But his whole comment was based around when I do the thumbnail for the videos, I have the Italian flag, and then I have the, you know, people. And I said, we're not trying to be Italian. We're not saying we're Italians. And he, I couldn't make him understand. And
no,
I said,
because you can't.
I said, we're proud of our heritage. Yeah. But the converse of it there, and I told him, I said, you know, my cousins in Italy that I didn't never knew, they didn't treat me like that when I saw them.
The same. We found my dad's cousins. Remember I told you that my dad's father died when he was two. When my grandmother remarried, obviously she stopped for whatever reason. They didn't keep in contact with that family. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I was doing some research on my grandpa, and I found my dad didn't even know his grandparents' names. I found them. I said, you know, by the way, I found out who you're named after, your father's brother, Ricardo. And, you know, my uncle, Tony, Antonio, the firstborn with the first other wife of my grandpa. I said, he was named after his father because your grandfather's name is Antonio. And I started looking and I said, you know, your dad had a lot of siblings. I mean, I know, you know, some of them because they came to America, but there's more who stayed in Italy. And I contacted, I don't know if you know Bella Italia in Benevento, Alessandro. Yeah. So yeah. I contacted Alessandro because I already...
He did some of mine. He helped with some of mine.
Oh, yeah, stuff. Yeah. He is fabulous at finding people. And I said, look, I called people myself. I wrote letters. I talked to this guy, Massimo Olivieri. No, it's not a relative. I said, look, somewhere along the line, we're probably related, but you're not the family I'm looking for because I know exactly who they are. And Alessandro called when he did his research, and he called, and the guy has my dad's first cousin, his son, has the same name as my dad because they're named after the same person. Because my dad's uncle, it was this guy's grandfather. And when Alessandro called, he said, "Oh my God, I've been looking for them online on Facebook. I've been typing. Oh my God, are they coming?" And when we got there, we didn't know that Alessandro had found them. And I think I'd sent you the pictures when they were hugging and everyone was just crying because this is like 75 years later that they're meeting up. And my dad's first cousin, unfortunately, had passed in 2008. One of the first cousins. There are others. We did meet some other ones on my grandmother's side. But it was really like, I guess I was so happy. And I said, I wish that we did it earlier because I just didn't know, you know, there's like things going on in life here. I just didn't know that they were there.
I met my dad's first cousins last year. I had no idea. I didn't know these women existed.
It's like crazy. Nuts. Oh, you went through the same thing as we did then. My dad says, I'm so happy. And, you know, of course I was the pusher of all this. I said, we got to go. I said, we got to go find them. I'm talking to the genealogist. I said, man, I know that they're there. I just don't know who they are because there's so many. And he was able to go and, you know, find out. And they were so happy. And then we went to go see them again. And they cooked for us. And, well, we'll go back again. I stayed with them a few times because Bari is not that far from Naples. So I was able to go and stay. And, you know, they invited me too for the Immaculata. You know, they celebrate the Immaculate Conception. Like if it's,
it was on a weekend.
So I was able to go and have the big dinner. And, you know, they said, wow, your Italian got so much better than the first time we met you. I said, yeah, it was only like a beginner when I met them. But, you know, it was just amazing to meet them. And we also met some a little more distant cousins on my mom's side. Cause like I said, most of the family came here, even the great grandparents. So it was like my mom's third cousin. And she actually gave us like, what are they called for when you, the shears for tailoring, those big, actually have it if you want to see it. It's really big.
Oh, I know
it's
the
like,
ones you mean.
She gave us that. Two of those and two like the irons with the carbon inside, because she said that those were actually used by my great-great-grandmother in the tailor shop that they had, and I was able to see also a mirror that was in the barber shop of like my third great grandfather that I had known already that he was a barber because I was doing all of that research I did by myself, because I'm a little bit obsessed with like finding stuff and family history. Yeah, you
Welcome
can
to the
understand. And I was like, oh my gosh, I think I might have sent you that picture too of me looking in a mirror,
I
maybe.
think so. Yeah,
Yeah,
I
that's the
think.
barbershop mirror. And I was saying, how many guys went through here looking at the beard and the haircut, including my own relatives. So we had met them. That was like my mom's third cousin. I think she was, yeah, second or third cousin. She was really, really cool too. And then another cousin that wind up being the Monsignor at the church where near to where I live. It was before I moved though. He brought us to see my mom's grandmother's baptismal record in the church and all that stuff. And yeah, so it was really amazing trip in 2017. Yeah, and we just kept in touch with most of them. Obviously, not the Monsignor
So now
because I don't know his name.
you have your citizenship?
Yeah, I did it with Alessandro.
Oh,
With
so
Alessandro.
how long ago did you get it?
2017.
I
I think
wish
I
I
was
did it long. I
recognized.
wish I did it before.
Wait, hold on. Yeah, before the pandemic, because
So you go way back with Alessandro. He did
yeah.
mine probably before the pandemic. Probably, I guess it was around the same time when
Yeah.
he was
I think
helping
I
me.
started talking to him in 2016 first
Yeah.
about I was more interested in finding the relatives first and foremost, but since about like 2010 I was really into like doing well, I had a boyfriend in Ireland, so my Irish boyfriend wanted me to move there, so I started looking into citizenship, and I knew that I was eligible from one of the male lines, and then I would have had two 1948 cases if I didn't
Yeah,
have
me
him.
too. Yeah.
Yeah, which is,
Yeah.
it doesn't mean nothing, and I talked to Alessandro,
I could do 1948, but my brother can't.
I know that's weird, right? Yeah, I know. It's crazy. But anyway, yeah, so I wound up working with Alessandro first for the finding relatives, and then I said, "Oh, well, I already know you, so, I'm already coming to Italy anyway." So, yeah. And
So
so
I have to ask you, so have you been to Avellino, the city
yes,
of Avellino?
once or twice. Yes.
Yeah, so the Palazzo Caracciolo? Do you know the big palazzo and the big
No,
square?
I didn't really walk around too much. I think I went there just to like get the bus or something with my friend. So I
Well,
don't know.
if you go
I'll go back
back
though.
and
Yeah.
you see the palazzo and the big square, the main
Yeah.
square, that's my seventh great grandparents built the palazzo. They were
Wow.
the princes, my grandparents were the princes of Avellino.
Wow.
So Marino
That's
the
amazing.
second, Marino Francesco Marino.
Wow. And
And
then there's this guy commenting that you're not Italian. I mean, give me,
yeah,
I mean, I'm saying.
I didn't even go down that route with him.
I know.
But
Excuse me. I'm nobility.
if you go to the Duomo, they took us to the Duomo there, and they had there were three chairs in it covered in red velvet and behind the altar. And they said that's the priests sit in that chair when they, with the bishop, when the bishop comes, they'll sit in those chairs and everything. And then they said, but those chairs were your ancestors' chairs that they
Wow.
used. And so Letizia, who's good friends with Alessandro, who set the whole thing up for us, can they sit in the chairs? Yeah, sure, I sit in the
Of
chairs.
course, yeah.
People don't understand. In Italy, they don't do all this white glove stuff and
I know we're more, I think as Italian Americans, because we were removed from Italy, like family is removed from it, it's more nostalgic. Like this woman, she couldn't wait to get rid of the scissor
all the
and the
stuff.
iron. She says, "Please, I'm cleaning out my house. I'm 85 years old. Just please take it." And I was like, "How am I going to get this home to New York when I go back?" But I wind up wrapping it in like a box and then paper and put it in the checked suitcase.
As
Obviously
long
can't
as
bring
it's
that on the
checked,
plane
as
and
long as
kill
it's
somebody
checked, you'll
with
be okay.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was just afraid that they were going to turn it down because of that the weight, but no, it was fine.
Well,
But it was really nice to have.
my grandfather and his brother, they had an embroidery shop
Yeah.
in not Little Italy, on 14th Street in Manhattan. And they started, I guess, in the 20s sometime. And when I met my cousin, that I, again, somebody I didn't know. I mean, her grandmother lived 5 blocks from where I lived in Queens, in Flushing.
Yeah.
I remember my father mentioning Aunt Petrus lives there, you know, but whatever went over my head. But her grandmother had saved beads from the shop. So, and she brought my sister and my cousin and I all beads from the shop. And, you know, when you come across something like that,
yeah,
especially when it was the business, you know?
Exactly. That's what I said. This is like their livelihood.
Yeah.
The worst part of it though was, and I wish she never told me this. She goes, the older woman, she said, Diana, oh, che peccato. I said, what? She goes, about a month ago, I threw out all the pictures. They were all of them, your great-great-grandmother too, with the measuring tape and all of them in the shop. And I said, please don't tell me that. I said, do you understand? I'm like an amateur genealogist. I'm putting all these pictures in the chart, in the tree. And you're telling me you threw them away? She says, I didn't know you guys wouldn't come here. I said, oh my God, thanks for the irons. But, you know, please don't tell me that.
Well, they told me that in Italy too. There was one. Yeah. One of my grandmothers, I guess, must have been, I don't know if it was a cousin or an uncle or something like that, that supposedly had all the artifacts and all of that kind of stuff. You know, and this is from a noble family, and it just all disappeared. You know, they have a couple of buttons and things like that, but, you know, their houses are still there.
Yeah.
It's you know, it's amazing to just go see these places, and they were big houses. They weren't little small houses.
No. And you know what's interesting too is that, like I said, my dad's parents are more like, you know, farmers and like not peasants, but they weren't rich. But my mom's side on my maternal grandfather's side were they were like artigiani. They were sarti. They had money. He would make clothes for rich people. And there's another story that they made the vestments, whatever the priests wear, for the Vatican. Yeah. Now, I haven't proven this theory. It's been told to me by several people, but I know that my great grandfather received an award, a medal, from Rome and Paris for his work. And, the funny story is that they said, so they had come earlier, my mom's side, before World War II. I think during World War I or shortly after, they had trouble paying their suppliers because they would buy all this fabric and they would make the suits and make the dresses. And then these people would say, well, we can't pay for the items. Mm. So he couldn't pay his suppliers. So he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to New York for 6 months. I'm going to pay off all my debts. And he did. He paid all the debts. So my great grandmother was still in Italy, with the kids in their, you know, house or whatever. And he calls her up and he says, sell everything, get on the boat with the kids. And that's how my grandfather wound up coming over. But, she didn't want to, and they went to Harlem and she was crying. I said, could you imagine you have your own, basically your own farm, your own house, beautiful furniture. And I have all the tapes from my great aunt talking, cause she remembers, she was like 14, I think, when she came, and she was saying like, you know, the peasants used to come and ask if they could take fruit from the trees and could they have this? And she would give, and, you know, then she winds up, I'm not knocking Harlem, but I'm just saying it's different. And you got these, you know, 6 or 7 kids running around, and you know, you're used to having them in the, you know, and out in the fresh air in Italy. So that was just their story. And then he winds up working for, I don't remember. I have old records somewhere, you know, different tailor shops and manufacturers. And, you know, the kids would go, mostly the girls, they would go on the train into the city, take the ferry, and they would bring all the stuff. Cause then
my cousin used to do that. Yeah. Used to take the train into Manhattan.
Yeah. And she was, my great aunt, she lived to like 105 or something, but so she was able to tell a lot of more stories. That my grandfather died when I was a year old, so I didn't really know that much, but she told a lot of stories on the CD interview that she did, which I wish I would have done that with my grandparents. But anyway, at least we have that. And she was like, you know, he turned the first he worked in the city for a while, but then he had like some finger injury with, he pricked himself and it got infected. I don't know. It was a whole big drama. And he wound up working from home and made the whole living room, like people would come to get fitted, and it was crazy, but then he still worked for the city. And then my grandfather didn't become a tailor. He became a pharmacist. And he owned Aracar Pharmacy, which is very famous, still there. He opened that himself, and he was Gigi, and everybody loved him. I only have some pictures of me with him when I was a baby, but I don't remember him really, because I was like maybe a year and a half when he died. But I still meet people who are like, I'm from Aracar, I'm from South Beach, and I'm like, do you know Gigi? And they said, yeah. And I was like, that's my grandpa. And they'll start telling me, my mom loved Gigi, you know. So, and I have pictures and stuff of him. And he wind up when he passed away, my grandmother wind up giving the business to his intern, you know, very like old school Italian type of thing. She wasn't like, I'm going to sell this for a profit. She's like, no, he wanted Johnny to have the store because Johnny was his intern. And when Johnny graduated, he gave it, and Johnny just, I think, sold it maybe 2 or 3 years ago when they had some old pictures and stuff that they found in the basement. So that was really interesting. But yeah, there's just so much, even within my small family, small, I say, you know, just one family, there's so many stories. Like if you put them all together of all the Italian Americans, every little, I mean, and I haven't even told you everything. I mean,
you have to write a book.
I'm going to write a book. You want to hear this? This is the craziest thing. My dad. Okay. So being that his father died, my dad was 2 years old. The plot with my grandfather, was left. Let me see. Wait, my grandfather wind up being buried in the plot he bought when his first wife died in childbirth. But nobody knew. Nobody knew that his first wife was buried there, or nobody told my dad. And my dad goes, I want to go to see my dad's headstone. So he goes to the cemetery and he goes, hi, I'd like to see Luis Oliveri, Luigi. And they said, Luigi Olivieri. Wife and unborn child. And my father goes, what are you talking about? It's my, they said, oh my God, he's buried with the first wife, because it makes sense. My grandma didn't have any money. He had already bought the plot. And she says, all right, we'll put him in there where he bought it.
Yeah.
But my dad never put, I don't know if my other uncles knew and just, or maybe they might have not even thought about it. But that was crazy. We were just like, you had to do what you had to do back then. My grandmother could not afford to be jealous and say, oh gosh, he's going to be buried with his first wife and then the unborn child, you know, stillborn. It's crazy. I mean, there's just so many little things that just make, and in one way they make you laugh, but then it's also sad because I'm like, oh gosh, you know, that must have been really hard for my grandmother, you know, just come, she naturalized on her own, I think, but maybe, you know, like 7 years after he died. Yeah.
But like people, like you said, people were more practical back then.
Right. It wasn't like, oh gosh, it's not right to put him. It was like, it's paid for. You have no money. Yeah. You're a widow with seven kids. Put him in there, you know? And, you know, it's just, my dad was shocked. You know, he's just, still to this day, it's just like, I can't believe
it. I mean, it's you know, the widows would marry their husband's brother.
I know. I'm surprised that didn't happen.
That was normal in Italy.
Yeah. I mean, the crazy thing is some people say, my dad would say, wow, you know, my grandmother was so young and my mother was so young and my father was so old. I said, it was the way. I said, why would he marry someone 40 years old? They thought maybe she was going to die next. So they find somebody young and available who, you know,
well, not only that, they wanted that, you know, they had find somebody who could have kids.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, he wanted to have more kids and, you know,
I don't know why.
No, I don't know why. I guess they need more hands on the farm. But anyway, he my grandfather worked as an iceman, which a lot of buddies he did.
My grandfather too. My grandfather. Was an iceman.
And then he worked his way up to working in like a pantry, I guess, like in the commissary of a restaurant or hotel. And then he became like a chef for restaurants. And that, when he died, that's what he was doing. He died of something he would have survived now, something with the kidneys. And the wife, the first wife, I mean, I ordered her death certificate, and when it came, I cried because I said, we're all here because this woman died. I mean, if she would have lived, I wouldn't exist, you know?
Yeah, right.
And it just really, I got so emotional because, you know, it's my cousin's grandmother and it's my uncle's mother, but I never really thought about her, how, like, you know, what important person she is. Like, she didn't die. She hadn't died, we would not be here, you know. It's just, life is just crazy. But you know,
my great grandfather, my grandmother's father, my paternal great grandfather, he He was 60. He married somebody 30. And there's a rumor going around that,
yeah,
I don't know if it's true, but somebody said that she was like, she was either like the servant or the nanny or something.
I've seen
like that
too on my family tree. Because, it was like my great great, yeah, the 65 yeah. with a 30-year-old. I know. I don't understand it either.
Well, my great grandmother passed away. My youngest, my grandmother's youngest sibling was only a year old.
Wow.
But they had money.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
he must have had somebody. You know, maybe she took care of the kids again. That's kind of the
yeah.
story.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's true or not, but
yeah,
my great grandfather. Yeah. He was illegitimate.
Oh.
Because I found two records. I found two women's names. And I'm like, I don't know.
He wasn't married in the church, or he was truly not married?
Well, no,
the parents.
My great-great-grandfather, from the best I could figure out, he had some sort of an affair.
Oh.
But he was from a noble family. So on my great grandfather's birth record, it says, you know, that he was filio naturale.
So, oh yeah, yeah.
Right. So he was illegitimate, but somehow he's now got this my great great grandfather's second, well, first wife, right? The person he married, it also has her name then as the mother. So there's two records.
Weird. It's weird.
And like, I still can't figure out. Some people are saying that, well, because he was from a rich, noble family, he was able to get this records changed.
Yeah.
But it's quite clear that he was illegitimate.
Yeah.
And somehow then he got legitimized, you know.
Somehow, yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild. I mean, yeah, we haven't had anything. I haven't discovered anything like that. But I did think it was really interesting that my dad's grandfather, the one that we had found, and actually my dad's cousins in body took us to the cemetery, and we see this picture of this guy, and he's got like this long beard, and it's like, oh gosh, he doesn't even look anything like you guys, you know. But he actually, I don't know, wind up having like 12 kids because he remarried, and then my grandfather had a sibling with the same name. And I'm like, sometimes it's like the sibling dies and they rename it another kid. Yeah. But no, it was like they were both alive at the same time. And I'm like, well, maybe that was the second wife's father's name or whatever. I was like, this is so weird, you know, like people all with the same name, like that Luigi. No, it's not. That's not your grandfather. This Luigi is, you know, you go crazy. But one of the reasons why I wanted to get a good level of Italian was I wanted to understand all these records as well. I mean, besides being obsessed with learning. I need to.
So before we go, since you live most of the time in Italy, I would live there permanently if my wife would let me. She doesn't, but I'd go back there in a minute and stay there. What advice do you give to people who are either thinking about moving there or want to retire there?
So do your research on the town and the area, like how connected it is, how's the transportation. And like, how are the people? Because sometimes people are friendly, like in shops when you buy stuff, but they don't want to be friendly, like to invite you to their house.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really depends on the individual, but it also depends on like the community, like how their mentality is in that area. Are they open? Are they type of community that is like open to, let's say, foreigners, or open to different people, or people that might not be permanent? Because I've noticed it that in certain places people are very different in how they I'm trying not to say anything negative. The people are different in different places. So if you can go spend as much time as you can before permanently going there, meaning visiting there. For example, I go to Naples all the time. I'm in Naples every Saturday, every Sunday, every time I'm off of work, except for when I'm in New York, I'm in Naples. I'm making friends in Naples. I'm talking to people. I'm, you know, walking by myself at all hours of the day and night. I'm taking public transportation. I'm going and talking to random people in bars and restaurants. I would say I know that I won't have any surprises if I were to decide to move to Naples tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I didn't do that before I moved. I'm not saying I made a mistake, but I just think that's a good thing because there were certain things I discovered after moving. As transportation and also different mentalities and different types of areas, like let's say a mountain area versus a seaside or a big city, small city, not talking north and south or anything like that, because this can even happen in the south. So my advice would be just do some research about the area you want to buy in and maybe rent first if you can. Stay for, if you don't have citizenship or a visa, if you're retired, stay for 3 months first. Get a feel for the area that you chose. And it doesn't have to be where your parents or grandparents or great grandparents came from, but it is nice. Just say, let me keep on working in fashion and move to Milano. I could have done that. Yeah. I could have, yeah, easily. I've had a lot of 20 something years experience in fashion. I would have found a job in fashion in 2 seconds, but I didn't move to Italy for the money. It's for the experience. Experience and the language and just also getting to know like modern Italian culture. Because the culture that I know is my grandparents, how their life was and how they adapted their life in America. So it's not, recipes. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I know those, all the Neapolitan recipes, but yeah. Yeah. Just do some research and don't bring too many things with you. That's another big one. I brought way, I still have a lot of stuff here, but I'm trying to go through it and get rid of some stuff that I don't use. But I mean, I brought 2 suitcases, but then I brought another one after I came back another time after a visit to New York. And then I said, the style is a little different in Italy. The cobblestone is different. You need different type of shoes. It's a lot of stuff could be bought there. You don't need to bring your whole entire kitchen with you. And, unless you have something you really love, it's not worth it. Sell it, donate it, store it, whatever you got to do. But yeah, don't bring too much. Those are my two, minimalism. I'm not a minimalist, but I wish I was in this case. Cause I said, wouldn't it be great to just travel with 1 suitcase and every year move to a different part of Italy and be like, this year I'm going to be in the north. Next year I'm going to be in the south, Sicily. Oh, yeah. That would be great to be more of like a nomadic type of lifestyle. But yeah.
Well, listen, this has been fun. I mean, I could do this for another 5 hours, but
I know, me too. I was thinking, wow, we could go on and on. But yeah, I think you kind of got the idea.
But I do appreciate you taking the time, and that was really good advice at the end there.
Anytime. So. Yeah, yeah, just from experience. I mean, yeah, there's some other stuff. Don't be too nice. Don't be afraid to be, especially as a woman in Southern Italy, and if you allow me to say this, don't be polite and say, oh, sorry. Oh, be stern, because when you're too nice, they don't understand. Because Italian women, when a guy bothers them or asks them out, they tell them, I won't say what they say, but they're stern. They're forceful.
Act like you come from New York. That's
exactly. So, as an American, sometimes even a New Yorker, when you're in a foreign place, you want to be polite. Because I mean, in New York, I'll tell somebody off, but I'm like, I'm in a foreign country. It's not my country. I'm going to be nice. It doesn't work. You don't have to curse or anything, but
be stern.
Be stern. No, I'm not interested. Thank you.
Yeah.
I told you I'm not interested. And that goes for people trying to sell you stuff too. You know what I say? Oh, they come up to me, you want to buy a bracelet? But I said, I don't want anything. And I'll say in Italian and English to them. It depends who it is. But I'll say, I don't want anything. Thank you. I don't want anything. And because if you start going, oh, no, they're going to try it,
So. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, that's just don't be mean, but be stern. Don't be afraid to be strong. Because if you're nice, it could be taken as weakness. So,
yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, listen, thanks again. I appreciate it. Hi, everyone. This is Bob Sorrentino, just letting you know that my new book, Farmers and Nobles, is now available for sale on www.italiangenealogy.blog/farmersandnobles, or you can find the link in the podcast notes. Thanks for listening.